As Houston suburb Sugarland booms, a mass grave sits unresolved. The New York Times, November 8, 2023. In Sugarland, Texas, there's a refrain you may hear from residents, an unofficial city motto of sorts: life is sweeter here. By many measures, it is. This Houston suburb is affluent, with a median household income nearly 70% higher than the nation's. One of the world's largest oil companies, Schlumberger, has a sprawling campus here. The crown jewel of its current development boom is the Imperial Chart House, the sugar refinery that gave the town its name and will soon become the centerpiece of a complex including luxury apartments, museums, and a distillery. The city's lure is so strong that it was chosen to host the inaugural Honeyland Festival, the two-day celebration of black food and music to be held this weekend, with a long lineup of celebrities that includes Mary J. Blige, Miguel, and the chef Marcus Samuelson. But beneath Sugarland's success lies a disturbing piece of black history. For decades after slavery was abolished in the United States, a prison farm that grew sugar for the Imperial Refinery relied on the forced labor of prison inmates, most of them black men, including many who had been locked up for conduct as minor as loitering or not having a job. The practice, known as convict leasing and used throughout the South, created such brutal conditions that many Sugarland inmates died within 2 years after being incarcerated. Image: Sugarland's City Hall. The city is booming with jobs, infrastructure, and people. Credit: Michael Stargill Jr. for the New York Times. Image: The city is much like any other affluent suburb, with well-kept shopping areas and large houses. Credit: Michael Stargill Jr. for the New York Times. In 2018, the remains of 95 African Americans, 94 men and one believed to have been a woman, were found during the construction of a technical school in Sugarland. The discovery drew national news coverage and calls for a proper memorial, research into the convicts' lives, and broader education about convict leasing. 5 years later, the remains still sit, unidentified, in a makeshift graveyard facing the school parking lot. The few public testaments to the lives of these people known as the Sugarland 95 include some references on the city's website and in local museums, and a small exhibit in a Sugarland school hallway. Several groups have sprung up to push for a more robust memorial, but their efforts have been stalled by bitter disagreements about how to mark this history, and who should pay for it. Sugarland officials initially offered to move the remains to a city-owned cemetery, but the proposal failed to win public support and they have since dropped out of discussions. Fort Bend County, which includes Sugarland, set aside $4 million in 2020 to build a park around the remains, but has since reduced that commitment to $1.5 million. Many of the people pushing for a memorial say they're not counting on government support, given the lack of progress so far and the grimness of the history they want to see acknowledged. "It's ugly," said Marilyn Moore, who founded the nonprofit Friends of the Sugarland 95 to help manage the memorialization efforts. "They don't want it. It wasn't in the history books. It has not been taught. And so now that they are becoming aware, they don't want to talk about it." Image: After they were discovered 6 years ago during construction of a school, the remains of the Sugarland 95 were buried on the site. Credit: Michael Stargill Jr. for the New York Times. Back in the 1990s, her husband, Reginald Moore, the former prison guard, began telling anyone who would listen that leased prison laborers had been buried in unmarked graves throughout the area, and campaigning for help in finding and preserving those sites. He was still pushing for a memorial when he died in 2020 at age 60. Sugarland is only one of several communities across the country, including Tracy City, 10, and Clemson, SC, where mass unmarked graves of African Americans have recently been found. People in a number of those places have been looking to Sugarland for guidance on how to proceed. In Sugarland, the task of figuring all of this out has fallen to the Fort Bend Independent School District, which owns the land where the remains were found. The district succeeded in creating a curriculum on convict leasing and persuading the state to allow its teaching in Texas schools, no small feat in a state that sets strict limits on how students can be taught about slavery. And school officials have completed the plan to build an outdoor exhibit and plaza around the cemetery, using the money promised by the county. Image: Marilyn Moore has continued the work of her husband, Reginald Moore, who alerted the community that there were unmarked black cemeteries in the city before his death in 2020. Credit: Michael Stargill Jr. for the New York Times. Talent: Bogard, who as city manager from 2001 to 2020 created a task force to decide how to bury and memorialize the Sugar Land 95, believe the state, which leased out the convicts and profited mightily from the deal, should be leading the charge. But he said state officials prefer to leave the work to the district, which lacks the money and experience to manage the cemetery, much less identify the remains and spread their story. The office of Governor Greg Abbott did not respond to requests for comment. "I believe everybody just wants to bury it," Mr. Bogard said. "It's an embarrassment. It runs completely counter to who Sugar Land is today. Hellhole on the Brazos. The Sugar Land of today has one of the fastest growing populations in the country. In 2021, U.S. News ranked Fort Bend as the nation's fifth most ethnically diverse county. But of the city's nearly 110,000 residents, just 7.2% are Black, about half the national figure. In a city of lavish homes and freshly paved roads, the Sugar Land 95 cemetery is notably spare, set off by a thin chain rope fence and two plaques that explain how the remains were discovered. The gray gravestones are all numbered and inscribed with the same word, unknown. The state historical marker will be installed next year. That history began in the 1820s, when settlers established sugar plantations, bringing with them enslaved people. The 13th Amendment outlawed slavery in 1865, but a loophole allowed the state to lease out its prisoners to plantation owners to fill the labor gap. Image: none of the Sugar Land 95 have been identified, but DNA testing has begun. Credit: Michael Stargill Jr. for the New York Times. The area that is now Sugar Land was so swampy and mosquito infested, and the work of cultivating sugar cane so backbreaking, that it became known as the Hellhole on the Brazos. Convict leasing was phased out in Sugar Land in the early 20th century, but even after Texas abolished the practice in 1910, the state bought farms and forced prisoners to work them until the 1980s. "The discovery of the Sugar Land 95 has national significance," said Robert Perkinson, the author of Texas Tough: The Rise of a Prison Empire. The area's use of convict leasing, he said, was so expansive and lucrative that it created the template for a modern prison system that prioritizes punishment over rehabilitation, and for the continued use of prison labor by businesses. Today, Texas is torn by political divisions that hinder the examination of that history, said Dexter M. Sequoy, a Fort Bend County Commissioner who represents a precinct near the Sugar Land 95 site. "Where we are now, we cannot agree on what facts are facts," he said, "and so that complicates the situation that much more." Mr. M. Sequoy, who worked for the school district during the discovery, grew so frustrated by the inaction over the Sugar Land 95 that he struck out on his own. He is using $4 million in county money to build an African American memorial, scheduled to open in 2025, on the grounds of a Black cemetery in his precinct that will include 95 trees in honor of the workers. Image: Dexter M. Sequoy, a Fort Bend County Commissioner, felt frustrated with the lack of progress on the Sugar Land 95 and plans to memorialize the individuals in a park in his precinct. Credit: Michael Stargill Jr. for the New York Times. The school district, meanwhile, is raising money to build its outdoor memorial. "But the district hasn't asked the city for funding," said Kosadi Alanu-Olade, a curriculum coordinator who is overseeing the project. "We haven't been able to even establish a working relationship on the matter," she said, "since the district rejected the city's offer to reinter the remains, which many activists both in and outside Sugar Land wanted to keep in their original resting place." "The school district," she said, "is trying to strike that balance between doing the right thing and having very little resources dedicated to doing it because it's not in the hands of a municipality." Doug Adolph, a spokesman for the city, confirmed that Sugar Land has not allocated funding for the memorial because it is a school district project. In 2022, Ms. Alanu-Olade helped the district set up the small exhibit inside the school, with the aid of Ms. Moore and community members. Ms. Alanu-Olade and her team created the new curriculum about convict leasing, which local classrooms have incorporated in creative ways. Forensics students, for instance, learn to analyze skeletal remains using photos and other data on the Sugar Land 95. But other groups championing the Sugar Land 95 have found the district's efforts lacking. The Society of Justice and Equality for the People of Sugar Land is pushing for a museum showing the national scope of convict leasing. Robin Cole, who runs the group, said her organization had applied for grants that would also fund a traveling exhibit and virtual museum. Image members of the Society of Justice and Equality for the People of Sugarland say the school district isn't doing enough to memorialize the Sugarland 95. Credit: Michael Stargill Jr. for the New York Times. The Convict Leasing and Labor Project, founded by Mr. Moore and Jay Jenkins, says the school district is failing to honor the 95 people by not completing DNA testing to identify the remains before building the memorial. The group did not respond to requests for an interview. A self-funded research group has begun DNA testing, which could take many years to complete, said Abigail Fisher, one of the researchers. Two others, Helen Graham and Sandra Rogers, have combed state records and uncovered information about 75 people who died at the prison farm. The group also knows, from its analysis of the remains, that they endured great suffering from gunshot wounds, sunstroke, traumatic brain injuries and pneumonia. The researchers have interviewed a few descendants, including a Houston area teacher who asked to be identified simply as Carolyn because she hadn't told some relatives about the family's connection to Convict Leasing. When she found out, she said, "It devastated me, thinking about my ancestors. There is no blueprint for all the efforts to bring attention to the Sugarland 95. The significance of their story doesn't seem widely understood in the city. Several residents interviewed either didn't know or didn't care about the history." Nguo, 35, a real estate developer who has lived in Sugarland for more than a decade, said she knew about the Imperial Sugar Company, but not the Sugarland 95. "People don't talk about those things here, the dark side of history," Ms.